we had prepared some things. The reason you always know you're doing what God has given you to do is when you run into opposition. You know, the devil attacked in a number of different ways. Somebody got on the website yesterday, corrupted the website some kind of way. I'd take it offline. So I said, okay, this is a critical message here. And I've been in preparation with this message for some time. Ever since the pastor invited me, I've started to pray and ask God, what do I need for new beginning? And the Lord gave me some verses I'm going to give you just to look at. In Isaiah 42 in the Old Testament, you can put a bookmark there, and then just a few verses from 2 Corinthians chapter 4 in the New Testament, and I'm just going to read a little of the text. These will be also posted online at our website when the site is back up. It may not be up right now, but you can check it right in somewhere on your program right now, teachingbible.org. And you can look this up later, and it should be available online. Amen. So while you're locating Isaiah 42 and also 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we'll dig right into the Word. Amen. The Word is so good. This is something that I think is timely for the season in which we live. Because as you know, you and I live in difficult times.
Amen.
The Bible says in the latter days, many shall fall away. There shall become an apostasy, as the word that's used there. It means a falling away. And we can see it in our time, the apostasy setting in the church. We'll talk about that just a little more. Just a few verses here. Isaiah 42, thank you for all your hospitality, all of you who have extended that to us as we have come to visit. It is a blessing, and we praise God for you. Amen. Isaiah 42 and 1 from the King James translation says, behold, my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry nor lift up nor cause his voice to be heard in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break. A smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isle shall wait for his law. Thus saith God, the Lord, that created the heavens and stretched them out. He that spreadeth forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth bread unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant to the people for light of the Gentiles, and to open blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. I've read Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 to 9 from the Old Testament. And now just a few verses in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians 4, starting at verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who hath commanded light to shine out of the darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We have read 2 Corinthians 4, verses 1 through 7. May God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his holy word. You may be seated. Let us have a word of prayer. Eternal God, we bless you, we praise you, we exalt your name. Father, we thank you for all of your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you, Father, that you called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. Father, we thank you that you opened our blinded eyes that we might see the glory of Christ. And Father, if there's anyone here who does not know you in the pardon of their sin, we pray now, God, by your power, by your spirit, by the gospel, that they would be awakened today to a new life. And Father, we pray for those who are here, just in this congregation, that you would open our eyes even brighter, that we might behold the glory of Christ in a new and a profound way from this moment forward. Father, you bless right now, oh God, those as your word goes forth. You said that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so, Father, we ask that you increase our faith and our boldness. We ask it in the righteous name of your Son, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, now and forevermore. Amen. 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 I want to use for a subject today, believing is seeing. Amen. Believing is seeing. We live in a world that basically says just the opposite. They say seeing is believing. If I can see it, I can believe it. Or even some of the secular songwriters, somebody said, I believe I can fly. If I can see it, then I can do it. He said, if I can just see it, I can reach out and grab it. Somebody, y'all don't know nothing about that song, though, do you? So I say, it's the wrong group for that song. Somebody else say, I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Amen. But and we know about those songs. We've heard them. If you haven't, don't worry about it. But we just say the people in the world say they can see. If they can see it, I can believe it. You know, people, when you tell them about God so many times, they say, well, you know, I can't see God. They want to go into what they can physically see with their own eyes. And so they say seeing is believing. That's a common phrase that goes around in the world. But really the opposite is true. Believing is seeing, according to God's word. We need to believe. The reason we don't see a lot of times is because we don't have faith. The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. For those who come to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. See? And so we need to believe first. And so how does that happen? The Bible says, as we mentioned in the prayer, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Why are we here today? We could ask the question. Somebody at some time in our life, we probably heard multiple messages about the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, before we ever came around to believe. And one day, as the Bible says, one plants and another waters. But God at some time in our life gave the increase.
Yes, he did, Doc.
And then all of a sudden we believe. When we start to believe, we could look at the Bible in a whole new way. We could see and understand things we never knew before. You see? And so we learn, but we had to believe first. And that's the way it works. And so believing is seeing. The fallen physical world upholds a convincing illusion that material things are all that exists. That's because their whole world is based on the material things they have, which supports many who fail to believe that God exists, you see, and that he loves the creation that he designed, which causes people to say, in general, seeing is believing. They all they know is what they see, you know. And so we have to be careful not to fall into that trap. God is the one who gives faith. God loves everyone. There isn't anyone that God does not love. I remember when someone first told me that, I was a little bit put back because I knew what kind of an individual I was, and I was thinking that worldly, secular way that I need to be able to see something. You see, and the fact is, somebody told me God loves me, and I couldn't digest that. It was like, okay, I can't digest that. Why would he love me? You know, I'm thinking I know exactly what kind of a wretch I am. You know, I know all about all the stuff I did and all that kind of stuff. And so how could he love me? And it was very difficult for me to get into my head the perspective of God on the creation.
Well,
God loves everyone. No one has ever done anything for which God will not forgive you, but you must believe that he is. And when you believe that he is and trust in the provision that he has made by giving his only son, then he will give you faith. The Bible says faith comes by hearing. You know, we don't even produce faith on our own. The Bible says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. See that? Not of works, lest any man should boast. We can't work our way into righteousness. We can't have faith on our own, because Ephesians 2:2 says that we are all dead in our trespasses and sin. You know, dead people don't respond. Go blow a trumpet in the cemetery and see how many people get up. You know, unless your name is Gabriel, it's not going to work. You see, but the fact is, when the, even though people have the appearance that they are alive, they are dead spiritually, according to the word of God. And so this is why, when I think about the magnitude of the church is my very favorite place.
Come on.
And I don't talk about the building, I'm talking about the gathering of God's people.
Come on,
when we come together, because we are people who God has opened our eyes. He's given us the knowledge of his son. He has helped us understand the word. He helps us to grow and become better men and women than we have ever been in times past. He helps us do everything we need to do. You know, and so there's nowhere else better on earth to me than the church. You know, and being in the church basically is where you come to be fed and to be filled so that you can be charged for service when you go out into the world. Because what we have, I like what Pastor was singing there. He said, this joy that I have, I heard somebody singing that earlier. The world didn't give it to me.
Come on.
See, the world didn't give it, and the good news is that the world can't take it away. You know, you have a joy in your soul, which is an abiding presence that everything is all right with you and with God. And it doesn't mean everything in my life is all right. I might have some stuff that's way jacked up.
Yeah.
See, and we all do. We've got things we struggle with. We have things in our life that we wish weren't there. We have to deal with people we wish we didn't have to.
Come on.
You have to go through some things you wish, Lord, why do I have to go through this?
Yeah.
You see? But not only that, but at the same time, you have, if you are saved, you have that abiding presence of the Spirit of God who is in you saying it's all right. Saying go ahead through that door. Go ahead with that project. Go ahead with those things you need to do. Put up with that person, whatever it is. And he's guiding you step by step, leading you through, because you believe. And so believing is seeing, basically, is what we want to say. We can see more about who God is and how God is working by faith. When we trust and believe in him, then we can move forward by faith. Now let me just move to these texts here, because I don't want to keep you too long. I have somewhat of an exposition. But I want you to see in Isaiah, God had promised that he would send the Messiah, the only Savior of the world. You know, and we'll get in trouble these days if we say make statements like that, because it's in opposition to the philosophy of the world. The world says that all religions lead to God. As long as you have faith, they crank out some definition of faith, you'll be okay. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. There's one way that you can be saved. So our message really is very exclusive. You see, it's exclusive. Only Jesus Christ can bring you into the right relationship with God the Father.
Come on, man.
You know? And we have to have boldness in these days and the times that we live in, because we live in a country that is kind of opposed to that type of exclusivism, if you will. You know, but I didn't write the book. You know, it's kind of like the blind man in John 9. He said that the Pharisees, the religious folks, want to know, well, who was that that gave you your sight? And he said, well, what do you know about him? He said, well, I don't know much. I do know I was blind, but now I can see. You see, that I know. You know, I give that testimony. I was blind, but now I can see. I don't know who did it, but I heard his name was Jesus.
Yeah.
You see? And so God promises in so many places, and I'm sure you all are avid Bible scholars here, because I know your pastor and I know how much he loves the word. And so we see here that in this Old Testament text, God promises that I will send my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment unto the Gentiles. Now this was written in the time when the Jews were the exclusive bearers of God's truth. You know, they had the word, but it was never only for them and the whole time they had it. It was the God, same way the church is. We're called out, but not just for us. We're called out to be a witness to the whole world. See, your life is a testimony to what God can do. If you're saved, God has fixed you up.
Yeah.
He's made you look different than what you used to look.
Uh-huh.
He said, you're a city that is set up on a hill that cannot be hid. He said, well, my light I give unto you, and no one can take it from you. When you go out in the world, you may not be feeling the best. But God's spirit dwells in you if you trust and believe in him. And he's showing off himself through you and the way you handle your life. And so this is the thing that he said. I'm going to send my son. He's going to make a change in the way things are. He shall not cry nor lift up his voice or cause his voice to be heard in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break. In other words, if you're already a little damaged, he's going to fix you up. We come sometimes broken and damaged into the church. Sometimes it takes that to get us to realize we need the Lord. You see? And when we come, he says, a bruised reed he shall not break, nor a smoking flax will he not quench. In other words, he's not going to put your fire out. He's going to revive your fire and bring you back and make you better than you used to be before. You see that? And it says, and he shall not fail nor be discouraged till he has set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. In other words, this word is going to go to the ends of the earth, to all the Gentiles. God had a plan. That's what he actually promised Abraham in the beginning, before there were any Jews. He told him in Genesis 12, get thee out of thy country and away from thy kindred and out of thy father's house and come into a land that I will show thee. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless him that blesseth thee and curse him who curseth thee. And in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. See, so he was promising to a Gentile the blessing of the whole world when Jews didn't even exist yet. They were still yet in the loins of Abraham, hadn't even come forth yet. And God made the promise. So that's why I want you to know that if you're here today and you do not have a proper relationship with God, then you need to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will give you what you need. He will make up every deficit that you have to be right with God. He will put you in perfect right standing with God. It's not by works of righteousness that we have done, Titus 3:5 says, but by his great mercy that he pours out richly upon us in Christ Jesus, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. So if you've never accepted the Lord, believe him. That's what I want to say to you today. When you believe, then you'll be able to see all the things that you need that have been withheld from your eyes. And even if you do believe, I want to invite you today to believe more. Now, and that's kind of like the guy in Mark who came down, Mark chapter 9, when Jesus and the disciples came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, and his son had a demon that the other disciples couldn't cast out. And Jesus said, it's anything is possible to those who believe. And the man cried out, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief.
Yeah.
See, so even though we believe, sometimes we don't believe God as far as we ought to. We need to extend our faith. We need to have a bigger faith, a greater faith. How do you do that? By hearing the word. Come and hear God's word. This message is designed to cause you to desire to believe more deeply. Trust God further than you ever did. Step out a little further on faith. You know, kind of like Peter. He didn't know for sure when the waters were boisterous, if I can step out there, Lord, if that's you walking on the sea, bid that I come out to you. And Jesus said, come on. Some of us need to step out just a little bit and trust God a little further. When you do that, you're going to see what happens. Believing is seeing. You're going to start to see more things that God is opening up for you and your life. He's going to make some things that seem impossible to you right now very much possible. And so consider this. God does exist and does love mankind and knows exactly what mankind needs to be complete and fulfilled in this fallen world. And at the same time, God also knows exactly what he requires to cleanse man from the multitude of his sins. And therefore, he has provided his son, Jesus Christ, to make that provision for all who believe the gospel. So you and I have that important message when we go out into the world to tell people the gospel. The Bible says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, just as it is written, for the just shall live by his faith. You see, and from the book of 1 Corinthians and Romans, Paul talks about the fact that faith is necessary. And so faith is something that I want to admonish each member here as you stand with your pastor who has a great vision for this church to stand by faith.
Amen.
Walk by faith and not by sight. See, that's what the Bible says, right? So what does that mean? That means I believe that God is going to do what he said. And I'm going to walk in spite of the fact that I don't see what it is. I don't see it. It's out of my purview. It's bigger than my imagination. But the Bible says, now to him that is able to do what? Exceeding and abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, you see, to him be glory. The glory is going to be to God. When you see the vision fulfilled and you start to see the power of God kicking in, because you believe God and you walk by faith, that's when you're going to see more and even more. And you know what? It'll just prompt you to go to the next level, deeper and deeper. God wants us to be very intimate with him. Think about what he did for mankind. He's the eternal God, as it says here in this next part of Isaiah here. It says, thus saith the Lord God, he created the heavens and the earth and stretched them out. That's a big job. It says here, he spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, and he gives bread unto the people upon it, and he puts spirit in them that walk upon it. Big job, isn't it? See, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and I will hold thine hand and keep thee and give thee for a covenant unto the people and a light of the Gentiles. Jesus came to be a light to the Gentiles. If we're here and we have faith today, and we do, because we're here, we love God, we love the church, God is filling us with more and more understanding. He's opening up our eyes. Paul told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 13 that we behold things now darkly as in a glass. We don't have a full-blown vision of what God is doing, although it is in the Word. And if we trust and walk by faith, God is going to open up more understanding in his Word. We need to be prepared. The Word and the Holy Spirit prepares the church for the things that are coming up in the latter days. Now, some of the younger people